When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Far back to pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right, and the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Count up my ones, lacing up my favorite ones. One of a kind, one of one, the only one.
Hey, Sap. All right, we're in here. Good morning, good morning. Keith McPherson on The Fan, KM to 2 a.m. The Yankees win. The Buffalo Bills win. The Mets were off, as you heard. The Orioles were off, so would you look at that? The Yankees are starting to do what I wanted them to do. Build a little bit of a lead, a two-game lead. Feels all right. Continue. Sweep the Red Sox. I dare you. 888-808-1019. Waiting to hear from the Yankee fans that were at Yankee Stadium or the Yankee fans that just watched at home like myself. I mean, it was a Fox game, so I couldn't listen with the sound on. You obviously know why. John Smoltz is just a lame. I can't even use the words on the radio. So I listened to E-Man. Shout out to E-Man. I listened to E-Man and Susan on the call for a little while. And then I was watching Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. And man, the story of the game, it was eerie how it went down. Damar Hamlin, who we all know what happened to Damar Hamlin a couple seasons ago. He didn't even really make a play or a tackle. Tua Tagovailoa ran into him and concussed himself. Now, Tua's got a history of concussions where people are asking whether he should be out there. My take is that, of course, he should be out there. He's going to be out there. He just signed a four-year, $212 million extension. Oh, Keith, it's bigger than money. It's bigger than football. No, it's not. Like, it's a family decision, right? He's 26 years old. From what I know of Tua, I remember watching the Tua special that was on Fox about his family and his heritage. And, you know, he's like the chosen one. And from his grandfather to his father and their entire family, his younger brother plays quarterback, and he's not Tua. They look at Tua as like this like God-sent being that made it to the NFL, and now he's making $212 million with a four-year extension. I think they'll shut him down for a week, maybe two, with concussion protocol, but he's going to go back out there also because that could have been avoided, Tua. You're supposed to be sliding feet first. You had the first down. If you're not going to be able to hit a baseball slide, dive, and don't initiate contact. Don't put your head down and blindly run into contact. That's not safe. It's just like, I don't know, man. It could have been avoided. You feel bad for the guy. But before he was concussed, he was turning the ball over. Three interceptions. And obviously some tip drills. Obviously some assists. But you ain't winning the game giving the ball up three times. I don't know how anyone in the world bet the Dolphins tonight. I don't know how anyone in the world picked the Dolphins tonight. One, with all the nonsense all week, Stephen A. Smith and First Take, they're still talking about Tyreek Hill being handcuffed. Stop. Talk about the game tonight. Like, enough with the we know. It's nonsense. He could have been better. It shouldn't have went down. Whatever. Please, move on. Talk about sports. Instead of just like everybody coming in with their take about police in America and Tyreek Hill, what he should have done. Please, talk about the matchup. The Miami Dolphins didn't even know if they were going to have their starting running back. I'm glad they did because I cashed with him in fantasy tonight. I'm feeling good about week two after going 0-2. But I don't know how you could bet the Dolphins when they barely escaped the Jaguars, who also had a turnover issue, gave them the game last week, it being a short week. And you know, all the nonsense that was going on and being talked about all week, you knew that was going to be a distraction, right? Tyreek's doing all these interviews. He's, you know, got his teammates doing interviews all week, from Calais Campbell to Jonnu Smith, and these guys are on CNN. I just knew. I'm like, this is going to be a distraction week for the Dolphins. They're not winning. And the Buffalo Bills, not for nothing, scored a ton of points last week. Josh Allen got hurt. He does not care. Josh Allen is 6-0 on Thursday Night Football. Or I think he's undefeated on Thursday Night Football, something like 6-0 on Thursday Night games. I remember him beating the Dallas Cowboys on a Thanksgiving Thursday. They weren't losing that game. James Cook going back to Florida, where he's from. Go crazy, young man. 3 touchdowns. I wish I had a parlay that I cashed out tonight for like $90, where the only reason I was able to cash the $90 is because I had him with 2 touchdowns. And I think I had Jonnu Smith as the other leg. I was waiting on Jonnu Smith to score. But as soon as Tua went down, hit the eject button. Yeah, cash me out. Cash me outside. Cash me out. I'll take the $90. I think it was 10 to turn into 400, but I'll take the 90. Because I knew Skylar Thompson wasn't going to do anything. 888-808-1019 if you want to talk about the Thursday Night Football game. Mike White is over there. Miggity, miggity. Mike White, they paid to go over there, and they cut him, I think, for financial reasons. They might have to bring him back. If Tua can't go, Skylar Thompson can't play. Skylar Thompson goes in there, goes 8 for 14, 80 yards. I knew they weren't going to score with Skylar Thompson. So anyway, the Buffalo Bills, nobody circles the wagons like the 2-0 Buffalo Bills. Jets fans, they are still here. When I did my picks, what I said is it's the Bills' division until it's not. The Dolphins aren't taking that from them. Every year, the Dolphins get smacked by the Bills. Remember last year when the Dolphins put up like 70 points on the Broncos? What happened the next week? They went up there to Orchard Park and got dog walked. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, their defense looks the part. And I told y'all, they're going to be just fine without Stephon Diggs. They're going to be better for it. Joe Brady and that offense, they're going to be better for it. They've got a bunch of different receivers now. Listen to the different names of receivers they rolled out there today. Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Mac Hollins, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, first-round draft pick Keon Coleman. They don't need Stephon Diggs. Any of those guys can catch passes. On top of their two-headed monster at tight end, Dalton Kincaid, and Dawson Knox didn't catch a pass. Was he in this game? I don't know if I wasn't watching it that closely, but he didn't. I'm looking at the box score. Didn't register a catch in the box score. Dalton Kincaid is the new starting tight end there, almost like Isaiah Likely is the new guy over Mark Andrews in Baltimore. But yeah, Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill combined for under 70 yards. That's tough for your fantasy team. 3 catches for Tyreek, because it was too much this week about, yeah, we got to create change. Oh, wait, I could have been better. Huge distraction. So for the Miami fans, they can be mad at Miami-Dade police. And there was no shot, even if that didn't happen. I know the Bills in week 2 were not going down there to Miami. Good weather, good enough weather. I knew they weren't going down there to lose. They put up 31 points, and there's no way you win a game turning the ball over that much. Shout out to DeMar Hamlin, though, man. Like, what a story. What a story. He's like the leading tackler, playing safety, starting. You know, I remember last year saying, why is he in the running for comeback player of the year? He barely played. He's playing now. 31-10, the Bills win. There's my little spiel about the game. And that triggered more calls than the Yankee game, surprisingly. Mike is in Brooklyn, first up on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? Thank you for having me. How you doing?
I'm good. No problem.
I just want to ask, because I'm looking at the Palm Beach Post 2 days ago, not even, you know, just tonight, they were going through his injury history. Through Bama, the hip break or whatever it was, dislocation being the last play of his college career. And now he's got a whole ton of concussions that they said that the Dolphins staff was criticized for the way that they handled it. Now, he's going to come back and you're saying, it's just not even a question of whether or not he's going to continue to play. It makes me think of Ricky Williams, to be honest with you. But I'm wondering why he didn't already have it on, and if he's going to have it on, wear the Guardian cap. See how it works, if it works or it doesn't. Because it doesn't matter if he caused the concussion or the concussion hit. You know, it's all cumulative. It all makes it worse and worse each time. He's given his body over to his family. You make a compelling case. I understand. And the game is it's just an incredible, it's a brilliant display of violence and poetry. But, man, I live near, I'm in the parade grounds in Brooklyn, and I see people playing cricket and baseball and basketball and, you know, every major sport. The kids that are playing football are all young men of color, young black kids. I don't see any white kids. And that's been covered in newspapers, you know, Pee Wee leagues and who's playing and what parents think that they have a shot to get out of, you know, the situation. So it's obviously a huge issue. I just hope for him that he comes back and let's get those Guardian. No, maybe they'll work. Maybe they don't, but we got to find out. We got to use it. I hope that players don't think that it, you know, makes them look stupid or.
They do. Thanks for the call, Mike. 888-808-1019. I'm one of those kids of color that grew up playing football. I'm one of those kids whose parents signed them up for football. We used to actually have to bang. We used to actually have to hit. Nutcrackers, Oklahoma drill. There was no concussion protocol in the early 2000s. There was none of that. I've been concussed before. I was just telling Zoo. Well, I was concussed in college. Couldn't see. I was concussed one day. In practice, my coach was yelling at me to get back in the huddle. I told him to F off because I'm like, I cannot see. My eyes went crossed. It's scary. Not scary enough to make some of these guys put on a Guardian cap, though. That's not pee. That's not swag. There's no drip. There's no aura. Once you put the Guardian cap on, I'm sorry. And the way that Tua took that hit, the Guardian cap wouldn't have helped. The way that he went with the crown of his helmet down, Like you're not a running back. You're not a running quarterback, clearly. Running backs don't do that. He ducked his head and almost, it's almost like a fearful thing. He ducked his head as just like a, all right, you know, here I'm going barreling in, hoping to protect himself. And he did the opposite. And it absolutely sucks to see a guy that we've seen concussed like that, take another hit like that with the fencing response with his fingers. It makes me feel terrible. It just snaps you out of the whole entertainment part of the football, and you realize these guys are in modern day American gladiator out there. It's a gladiator sport. It's a war. And at any time, like, and that's why I said it was eerie that it was Damar Hamlin. And Damar Hamlin kind of just looked at him like, oh. Tua has to protect himself. Knowing his own history, he cannot run headfirst into a safety like that. I don't care how hard you're playing, you got to be smart. These running backs don't run like that. And these quarterbacks slide and get down and they practice it. If you watch Hard Knocks with the Bears, Caleb Williams and all the backup quarterbacks, they were using a slip inside to learn how to slide. You know? I don't know. It's just not a good look. So going back to what you're saying, the Guardian cap, I think we saw Julius Peppers wear it. Was Jonathan Taylor wearing it? As much talk as there was about the Guardian cap, guys aren't putting that on. What did Deion say? You look good, you play good. You play good, they pay good. Nobody wants to be on a highlight with the big-ass Mega Man helmet. It's just not swaggy. It's not, like, and for what? Like, I guess a little added layer of padding, Tua would have still snapped his head and neck, lowering it. It's the way that he lowered himself. Him being a guy with multiple concussions who just signed a 4-year, $212 million extension. I understand you're trying to play hard, get your team back in the game. Be smarter. Be smarter. And for the young black kids that are trying to make it out of the hood, the young black kids whose parents are signing them up for football, it's a lot safer now. The helmets are a lot more advanced now. I hope these coaches are teaching them how to hit correctly, how to take a hit correctly. And I hope that football lives on forever and it doesn't go completely soft into flag football. And it does give kids opportunities. I was a kid. I scored 30 touchdowns in Pop Warner my 11-year-old year. I thought I was going straight to the league. Not everybody can go to the NFL, but if you're good enough, you can go to college. If you're good enough, you can go to college for free. If you're good enough, you can, you know what I'm saying? It can really help change a lot of people's lives. You know, so when you're talking about seeing kids in Brooklyn, black kids in Brooklyn playing, yeah, because they want to play. They have the talent to play, and their parents are allowing them to play. I hear so many parents talk about not allowing their kids to play football now. What? My son is about to be 17 months. As soon as he's ready to play, we're playing. We're playing. That's the risk you take. That's the risk you take stepping out there, strapping that helmet on. That's the risk you enter at your own risk. And I don't know, man. I feel bad for Tua, but again, his family, he's going to play. He's not hanging it up at 26. He just signed a 4-year extension. It's not going to be a type of thing where it's like, well, that's the last concussion for Tua. No, they're going to go through the concussion protocol. Hopefully he's good. Like I said, the thing that sucks is to see him again go into that, you know, with his fingers twitching where, like, that's like your brain and your nerves. Like, there's clearly a lot wrong there, but it's a family decision, right? I saw my guy Pooch put out there, like, he's got a wife and two kids. Yeah, he's got a wife and two kids that are going to benefit from that $212 million that he's going to make over the next 4 years playing football for the Miami Dolphins. Aaron is in Cedarhurst on the Fan in New York. What's up, Aaron?
What's up, Keith, man? I wasn't really watching the game tonight. I had a hockey game, but hearing you, I didn't see Tua take that hit, but sounds like something we've seen in the past with Tua.
Yeah, and like three other times that I can think of against the Bengals. Yeah, I don't even want to recant, but we've seen it, yes.
He actually reminded me, going to a Jewish private school growing up, the teachers, we used to talk about football a lot, and our teachers would say, how could you glorify these Neanderthals who just go out on the field and try to kill each other? Whatever, that's just, he used to always yell at us about
that. It's a lot more than that.
Of course. That was our response. And, you know, by the way, there's something I've been thinking about and for, like, years now. I just don't understand it. When they pronounce Tua, how do you pronounce Tua's last name?
Tagovailoa. Tua. So, you know what? Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa, I believe. But every announcer, they call him Tagovailoa. They throw in an N there that doesn't exist. You know what I'm talking about?
So, I said Tua Tagovailoa. Let me read it.
Right. So,
Tua Tagovailoa, yeah, and there's an N. You're saying that,
yeah, like they
because they say
it as if it's tongue. Yeah, they say tongue. Why do they do that? I don't get it.
I've heard that before. I don't know.
It's been bothering me for years. No one talks about it.
Yeah, I know. It's Tonga. I guess it's easy to say instead of, I don't know. It's probably just something that's been said so many times. Yeah, I have heard that though. Tagovailoa. No, it's tug, like T-A-G. Not tag, but tog.
Yeah, so it's time to start pronouncing the guy's name right. Then maybe he won't get concussions like he does. But
no, he will, because he's going to keep running like that. And like that one tonight didn't happen or didn't need to happen. There were some other ones where he got sacked and he got thrown. But like that one tonight, that's on him. You know, I feel bad for him, but like he's got to be smarter.
Yeah, and also you mentioned Stephon Diggs, and I'll leave you with this. I feel like this is a great time to get to part ways with Diggs if you're the Bills. I feel like he's potentially going down a bit of an Antonio Brown type of path.
Wait. Stephon Diggs is on the Texans now. You didn't see week one?
No, I'm saying it was a good time to part ways for him for the Bills.
I'm like, you're like, now is a good time? It was a good time. Yeah, I'm like, he's gone.
Yeah, now was a good time. Like, I feel like Diggs' ego is through the roof these days. He's a bit of a crybaby. He doesn't seem like he's as much of a team player as he's
a captain of the Houston Texans, and he balled in week one. Thanks for the call, Aaron. I don't know. I think he gets a bad rap. You know what I'm saying? I think that the media paints him in a certain kind of way. I don't think he likes the media, Stephon Diggs, from some of the interactions and some of the things in the past. And all I know is everything I've heard D'Amico Ryan say, C.J. Stroud say, even some of the DBs, like he showed up to, and maybe it's just because it's this point in his career, he showed up to Houston and they said he's been nothing but a pro and a leader. And he helped them win in week one. 6 catches, 33 yards, 2 touchdowns. Kind of wish I drafted him in fantasy. He's wearing a captaincy on his chest the first season he's there. So clearly, they don't have a problem with him. The media has a problem with him. Fans have a problem with him. But I think he's the guy that puts in the work. He was an underdog. And from Maryland to Minnesota to Buffalo to now Houston, he's a guy you got to worry about. He's a guy that catches the ball, runs good routes. He's a guy that knows football, studies football. And I was hearing about him staying late after practice to help the DBs, not just help the receivers. And the Houston Texans got a good one over there. I mean, they made some great additions this year. Joe Mixon on top of Stephon Diggs, on top of Danielle Hunter. Like, the Texans are my pick to come out of the AFC and go to the Super Bowl. I got to pick another team to come out of the AFC or the NFC. The Packers I picked on, you know, opening night, and then the next day, Jordan Love, last play of the game, you guys know what happened there. But they're saying he's like, I don't know, there was a report before the game today, they're saying Jordan Love, like, don't rule him out. I just think that they play these games. He's expected to be out, but then they're saying don't rule him out for too long. He's out of practice, unlikely to return. I don't know what to believe, but they're saying he's not out for the year. He could be back sooner than 6 weeks. I thought it was 3 to 6 weeks, but who knows? Bobby in Smithtown, what's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Good. Tua. He already had the first down. He should have slid, and so that's totally on him. I'm a lifelong Dolphin fan since '72. And my biggest regret tonight was not betting the ranch on Buffalo.
Yeah.
I knew he'll never beat Buffalo. He'll never beat Josh Allen. It's just like Tom Brady beating on the Jets all those years. Josh Allen will always beat Tua. Miami will never beat Buffalo. And now that they gave him this contract, just like the Giants gave Daniel Jones, we're stuck with this guy.
Yeah, he's better than Daniel Jones, though. He's way better than Daniel Jones.
Oh, yeah, he might be better than Daniel Jones, but he's never going to win the big game. You know, he's never going to win.
Yeah, because
more than Alabama, because he was on a star-studded college team. But he's never going to win the big game in the NFL. Can't play in cold weather.
Yeah, because they're never going to be the number one seed where they'll need to have home field advantage.
Yeah, they'll never get that. And he's just going to be one-dimensional.
You know what I saw, too? Damian Woody put this out on Twitter, and I want to go get his tweet because he said it exactly right. When you watch Josh Allen play, if the play is not there, he makes a play. He makes a play.
Exactly. Period.
Damian Woody said, Tua doesn't bring anything outside of the X's and O's. If it's not there, he brings nothing. Like, Tua drops back, reads the play. If it's not there, he can't improvise. He can't scramble. He can't
nope.
Step up in the pocket and make something happen.
You're never going to make it in the NFL if you can't do that.
Exactly. Thanks for the call, Bobby. It's simple as that. The X's and O's versus the Jimmies and the Joes. You need some Jimmies and Joes that can make the plays goes. I got bars coming out of me. You know, I got to write my rhyme. I got to do my rhyme. Fleegs, I got to do another rhyme tonight. So I'm going to be here tonight probably till 3 o'clock after my show recording a rap for 94.7 The Block. I got to put together my picks, wrap them, record it, and send it over to our throwback hip-hop station. I got a lot of the bars together. I got to pick a beat, record it. It's going to take a while. Maybe I could one take Drizzy Drake that thing. But anyway, Damian Woody said, I know Tua walked off the field. Oh, no, I'm reading the wrong tweet. I'm reading all his tweets. He says, Tua doesn't bring anything outside of the X's and O's. If it's not there, he brings nothing. And when you watch him drop back, that's exactly how the game looks. If Tyreek is there, it's the ball is there. Everything is timing. Everything is his drop back. Hit his step, hit his read. Read one, read two is not there, then it's probably an interception or it's not a positive gain. So, anyway. Oh, we got a Yankee call. Let me sneak this Yankee call in before we go to break. Ray is in Brooklyn. Ray, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, listen, man, I did call about the Yankees, but I do want to say something about the football game, too. But as far as the Yankees, I agree with you on Nestor Cortez. I actually called C-Mac, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. I said I have a lot more faith in him than that bum Rodon. And you know, the numbers also back it up. The dude, in his first 19 starts, which is like two-thirds of a season, had a 3.51 ERA. Right now, he currently has like a top 20 whip in the game. And there's over 200 starters in Major League Baseball. There's 32 teams. You multiply that by five, that's 150. And you know people get hurt. So, like, yeah, I think he's had a pretty good season. I have no problem with what he said. He's been our workhorse. And other than five or six starts, you know, that he got blown up on and that, you know, that kind of elevated his ERA, I think he's been pretty damn good. And pause, he's got, you know, he's got the stones. Because, like, he can do it in the bullpen. He can close out a game. He can start a game. I have so much more,
he's like
you know, confidence.
He's fearless. I'd rather have him on the mound than Rodon just because he can handle the storm. Rodon can't. Literally and figuratively. Nestor's been out there against the Cardinals in the rain, the Angels in the rain. He's had to pitch in the rain, I think, three times this year. Where, like, I actually, like, give him a little bit of a break for that. Rodon, imagine Rodon pitching in the rain. It'd be, oh, my pitch com's not working. I'm sweating through my jersey. It's raining. Umpire's not giving me the calls. I can't get through the first inning.
Yeah, he's a head case. And what we need is somebody unflappable in the playoffs, and that's exactly where Nesta is. I would describe him as unflappable. He's not, you know, he's going to have a game or two here.
In Yankee Stadium, I'd rather give Nestor the ball. He balls in the Bronx, and I know he'll bring the energy. Nasty Nestor night.
Keith, real quick, let me just say this about Clay Holmes. He could kiss both my ass cheeks, pause. But like, what the hell does he mean that you know he don't play for the fans? If I were the fans, listen, we're gonna root for him in the uniform. But the minute
he didn't
he
say
does
that,
something,
I said it because when they asked him about it,
he implied it.
Yeah, he deflected. He curved that question and basically
right,
talked about
Keith,
the guys in the clubhouse.
Listen, we are the smartest fan base. In the world, yep. Man, we're, you know, like, listen, we get the implication, the writing on the wall. And as far as, like, somebody just set me off with Stephon Diggs, because you know what? I agree with that last caller. Like, Stephon Diggs, that game when Josh Allen threw for six touchdowns, no interceptions, and the defense gave it up with 13 seconds left, he was, you know, he was bitching and complaining like the diva that he is. And then last season, he always throws the franchise quarterback under the bus. The guy's the baddest man on the planet, and him and his brother never shut up. And then last season, he was the total GOAT, not the greatest of all time, the actual GOAT that lost them the game, basically, by dropping. So, like, yeah, I can't stand the dude. Like, I think it's addition by subtraction, and nobody – people better realize that Buffalo's window is always going to be open as long as Josh Allen's there. I'm a Giants fan, but I'm tired of people – slandering Josh Allen and like
me too, honestly, because he plays tough, man. He fights to win. He doesn't care who it is. And no, I hear you with Stephon Diggs, but let's see how it works out in Houston. Maybe it wears off. Maybe it's just a week one thing. But I'm like, this guy's got a captaincy on his chest, scored two touchdowns, and they're singing his praises about how he's come over there. But maybe, you know, that's how it goes, right? Like, you're one way somewhere else, and maybe he's put on a fake presentation down there.
Yeah, no, Keith, listen, everywhere he's begun, it was all roses in Minnesota, then it was all great in Buffalo. He's going to wear out his welcome. Him and his brother don't know when to shut up. And he's just a diva. How can somebody throw for six touchdowns, no picks, and you're still complaining, dude? You should have got open. He was mad that Davis, you know, got all
I remember
like five touchdowns.
Wide
in
receivers
like,
are divas.
On,
they think they're always open and they always want the ball. Thanks for the call, Ray. 888-808-1019. We're talking NFL football. We're talking Thursday night football. We're talking about the Bills versus the Dolphins as the Bills defeat the Dolphins on the second Thursday night football game 31-10. Tua gets his like fourth concussion in the last couple years. Not great. And I just knew I should have bet more on it. I just honestly, by the time the game started, I don't know why. I thought the game, I need like alerts. It tricks me. Because, like, Monday Night Football started at, like, 8:20. So I'm thinking the game started at 8:20. And I do a lot of my bets last minute. I'll, like, in the notes app, put together a couple parlays, and then I'll try and quickly go in there and bang them out like the last 5 minutes before the game. I log in at 8:15 thinking the game starts at 8:15 and you know how the app will give you a little grace period. And it was already into the first quarter. I'm like, well, damn. I knew to bet the Bills. I knew there was no way they were losing that game, and I knew they were going to roll the Dolphins with all the distractions that they had this week. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I got 90 minutes left. Yankee fans, call me up. Let's talk Nestor Cortez. Let's talk about this lineup. Jason Dominguez, Juan Soto, Jazz Chisholm over there at third base. Let's talk about this Red Sox series. Let's talk about the AL East, the American League, the postseason, Aaron Boone, all that good stuff, as well as football. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay. 888-808-1019. This show is quick. Like, I'm done at 2, and with all the breaks, won't even be able to get to everything. I mean, I put notes together every day, all day. I mean, I wanted to talk about Hassan Reddick today. Really not going to have that much time. But I really just wanted to stand on my initial take. As soon as there was, well, my initial take going all the way back. And sometimes, man, I wish I got to find a young guy that listens to my show that can like clip my show. Cause I don't expect any like producers, anybody here at WFAN to go back and do it. But like my initial take when Aaron Rodgers didn't show up to mandatory minicamp because he was in Egypt, my initial take was you should be more worried about where Hassan Reddick is. Not Aaron Rodgers, who was here, who showed up last year when he didn't have to be here, who was here all offseason. You physically saw him in the building. You should be worried about Hassan Reddick. My second take, my initial take to, okay, now he's not showing up for actual camp was trade him. Trade him. Act like it never happened. Trade him. Don't let it be a same old Jets. Don't let it be an LOL Jets thing. Don't let this hang over because, look, it already has in week one. They lose a game in week one where they can't stop the run. This guy's a pass rusher, and they're saying, well, they need Hassan Reddick. Well, you know who's laughing to the bank right now? Hassan Reddick. No, 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 no. So, like, executives are saying that the Jets will eventually need to trade him, and I was saying that a while ago. We're about to go into October. They can't have this guy. They're like, but way before the trade deadline, trade this guy. And just let it be somebody else's problem, the way that the Eagles did for you. Speaking of the Eagles, you guys see Saquon Barkley again talking about, yeah, he talked to Brian Daboll. Daboll called him, wished him luck. And, you know, there's no beef between him and New York. There's no beef. It's just business. Just get over it. As I'm going to probably, like, lead the league in rushing, lead the league in touchdowns. And when I play y'all, I'm going for 150 and 2 touchdowns each time. But don't worry about it. It's just business. It's all love. No big deal that you paid Daniel Jones all that money. Yeah. He said, I hope they get it together. Yeah, I'm rooting for those guys. I stay in touch with a lot of those guys. Yikes. Dan is in Seagate. Dan, you're on the Fan.
Hi, how's it going, Keith?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So I'm just curious. I want to talk about the backup quarterback situation with Skylar Thompson. And in general, backup quarterbacks. I'm saying we're talking about someone who's a top 60 player in his position in the country, and he's not able to throw a screen pass. What's with that? I'm saying you go to court, and the lawyer's a top 60 lawyer in the country. He's able to get you, I'm saying he's able to be normal. What about these backup quarterbacks?
You can get a public defender that could get the job done.
No, I'm saying you go to any other position in sports, and you take a backup, and they're fine. All of a sudden, backup quarterbacks, the guy can't throw a screen pass.
Yeah, I don't know. So there's a lot of things like, you know, how many years did they talk about Colin Kaepernick is better than this guy and this guy? Yeah, he is, but he ain't playing. Like they drafted Skylar Thompson. He's been in the system since he came in. He played a playoff game for them. He's no good. And like I was just talking about Mike White, I think it's a financial thing. I think initially they paid Mike White a lot of money to come over there, and then they just gave money to Tua, where thanks for the call, Dan. just the, I don't know, the radio, the feedback, or just whatever. I can take it from here. Mike White is definitely a better quarterback than Skylar Thompson, but Skylar Thompson is a cheaper option. It happens. It happens. The Giants right now are probably wishing that they paid Tyrod Taylor to stay there. Instead, they paid Drew Lock $5 million, and Drew Lock is not even the option. Like, you could have just kept Tommy DeVito as a backup, but you wanted some insurance that Tommy Cutlet's Mania Part 2 didn't kick in. It already started. So you go get Drew Lock, and you pay him, and he gets hurt in preseason training camp. So now you're not even confident in him as the backup behind Daniel Jones. Woo, boy. The Commanders. You think Dan Quinn, who was the defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, isn't going to be ready for Daniel Jones? You think that Brian Daboll is not going to try and change the offense some to get the ball, especially to Malik Nabers, the number one draft pick, who played in college with Jaden Daniels at LSU? And if you watch Hard Knocks, which all of you did, you know Brian Daboll wanted Jaden Daniels. Couldn't get him, but he saw enough on tape to know this guy is going to be NFL ready. 888-808-1019. What a week. Because historically, Daniel Jones plays good against the Commanders. So what? There's a lot of pressure. This is a big week. I just had a caller compare Daniel Jones to Tua. My boy Dre online just said something about Daniel Jones and Tua. I saw Frank the Tank bugging out, calling Tua the Hawaiian Daniel Jones. That's disrespectful to Tua. Tua played at Bama in the SEC. And yes, even though Tua is just an X and O's guy and doesn't really improvise, can't really scramble, make a play, can't really, you know, do the Patrick Mahomes stuff, can't do the Lamar Jackson stuff, can't do the Josh Allen stuff, when the play is there, when it's schemed and it's executed, he can get the ball there. The plays get schemed and executed, and Daniel Jones has paralysis by analysis. He's frozen. He's stuck. He doesn't know what to do with the ball. Like, the difference between watching Daniel Jones and watching Aaron Rodgers this week, I mean, obviously there's no comparison. But, like, before that ball is snapped, Aaron Rodgers knows where he's going with the ball. It's called a pre-snap read. And I think back to last year, I tried to defend Daniel Jones. He went viral against the 49ers, who the Jets just played. And they said he was scared looking at the defense. And I'm like, nah, he's not scared. He's just scanning the defense. I don't think any NFL quarterback is scared of the defense he's going against. Maybe he was. That Bills defense was on it, boy. They were on to it tonight. Kelvin up in the Bronx. What's up, Kelvin? You're on the Fan.
Yo, brother Keith, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. Hanging in there. How are you?
Good, man. Good. We spoke before the year started, late August, and I called you and I said that the Bills is gonna, you know, win a division, and everybody talking crap about Josh Allen, and I told you, you know, yeah, the guy's a beast. That's all I gotta say is, people, you know, I caught the second half. I was at work. I caught the second half. One of my boys texted me saying that Allen made a throw that only Brett Favre and him can make. I didn't see it. I gotta see it, but it was some crazy throw. But I'm trying to tell people, all that Diggs made him and the Bowl made him. And I'm trying to tell people, all the Jeff fans at my job, and I said, listen, when you got a good quarterback, good quarterbacks make receivers good. They could make bad receivers be good and tight ends be great. So I'm like, just give the guy a chance. Like, this guy's been showing for the last 5-6 years that he's a beast. So it's like, and today he didn't have to really do nothing because the Dolphins played horrible.
And we gave him the ball. James Cook.
Gave him the ball.
3 touchdowns.
Yo, my man. Keith, I'm trying to tell you, man. I'm saying I'm happy right now. You know, I had a few drinks. We tell it. We're going to win 2-0. This division, you know what I mean?
It's the Bills division. Jets fans celebrated Stephon Diggs' departure saying, we're going to win the division now. No, silly exactly. Rabbits. Exactly. No.
My man. Listen, I'll be in Buffalo next Monday night against Jacksonville, and then I'll be in Baltimore Sunday night. They got us on national TV 3 weeks in a row, and I'm going to enjoy the next 2 weeks, man. We got this. And listen, I'm a Yankee fan, man. Yo. Good that Soto finally hit a walk-off today and the team embraced him and everything.
Yeah.
We got to get this this closer by committee fixed up and no more Clay Holmes in the ninth inning, man. I don't want him.
Yeah, that's
and,
done. That's done.
That's done. I don't know who closed it out today. Well, we walked it off in the 10th, I think it was. Well, but
yeah, I was about to say, Clay Holmes was the last guy with the ball, but, you know, we walked it off. Yesterday was Luke Weaver, and everybody keeps talking about Luke Weaver. Kelvin, have fun with Bills Mafia. Thanks for the call, bro. Now I get to talk about the Yankees. Yeah, closer by committee and getting creative and all of that. I mean, I heard Susan Waldman say, like, this time of year, getting creative, like, it doesn't work. But I think we have some ideas of some things that will work. I just hope they don't get too creative. Don't get creative too much with Clay Holmes. Keep him out of trouble, man. Luke Weaver has shown you he can handle it. He's there. Jake Cousins as well. Ian Hamilton, build him up and get him, you know, like, keep putting him out there and putting him in spots. It's about matchups. It's about parts of the order. I tweeted today. I'm rewatching the game just because, like, all right, you know, a lot of times you turn the TV off, it's on Yes Network. You wake up the next day, it's on Yes Network still. So they replay the game. And I'm laughing because they had Clay Holmes up in the sixth inning when we were down 1-0. And Clay was coming in no matter what. That was his lane. It was his day to throw. And that's what the Yankees do. Like, Clay Holmes is pitching no matter what. The dramatics of Juan Soto fouling a ball off the top of his foot. The fans saying, oh, no. Are we about to lose Soto? And then Soto with the bum da da bum ba da bum 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 pulling a Rocky bum da da bum da bum ba bum. The rope-a-dope. Coming back to hit that home run to wake everybody up to take the lead after Seth Lugo blanked us, after Cole Reagans was doing the same. It was theatrics, dramatics. The Yankees don't adjust to that. You would think, like, I don't know. I guess I think too much like it's a video game where, like, I'm at home in control. Clay Holmes is warming up. Well, you're not going in now. We got a lead. It's the seventh inning. No. We need 9 more outs. No. Clay's not going in, but they gave him the opportunity. And of course, the first two hitters hit the ball through, blah, 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 whatever it is. But, like, as I'm watching it again, Michael Kay told you with one out in the sixth inning, Clay Holmes is up. Clay Holmes is warming up. Yeah, he was coming in. But then I also was like, why would he be coming in to face Tommy Pham and Bobby Witt Jr.? It was Kyle Isbell, Pham, and Bobby Witt Jr. You have that much faith in Clay Holmes to face the top two hitters, Pham, who's been a great leadoff hitter this year, and Bobby Witt Jr., who's an MVP candidate behind Judge. Like, I just don't know what, like, nah, what's the thought process? What's the science? Like, I don't see it. Can we not do that moving forward? Can we not do that? Can we not have Clay Holmes face their best hitters? Can we not have Clay Holmes come in with a lead? Can we not? Like, there has to be some Clay rules. And now that you see Nestor Cortez back in the rotation, and now, like I just keep saying, the Yankees got options, man. Jason Dominguez is here. The Yankees got options. John Birdie is back. The Yankees got options. Ian Hamilton, cool. We'll see what it looks like with Clark Schmidt. We'll see what it continues to look like for the Yankees here against the Boston Red Sox, who, like, end their season, you know, put them out of their misery. Sweep these bums. And let's have a good time with this homestand before we go out west to Seattle and Oakland, where Seattle and Oakland, they're not going to lay down. They're going to be tough before we come back. That's when I'm back in the stadium. The week of the Baltimore-Pittsburgh series, I'm back in the stadium. I've been being a good dad and a good husband. My wife started a new job. She's been really, you know, going to work, and I'm not trying to get her to rush home. So at night, I'm, you know, feeding my son, bathing my son, putting my son to sleep. And my son is at the age now where, you know, it's funny, like I saw somebody months ago talking about, like, who's raising this guy's kid, you know, because when you're on the radio and social media and TV, you're a public figure. People could just weigh in on your personal life. Perfectly fine. Comes with the territory. But I saw someone like, you know, his wife's raising his kid. He doesn't even raise his kid. He's at the game all the time. Well, when my son was younger and more of a baby that was sleeping all the time and dum-dum-dum, go to sleep, little baby. Like, he was easier for my wife to handle. Now, he's big. He's strong. He can fight back. He's crazy. Like, daddy needs to be there to wrangle this man, to, you know, control him. I'm not leaving, you know, my wife to come home from work and have to, you know, fight my son just to get him to relax and go to bed. Just, you know, update on for me, because I have a lot of people that hit me. Hey, where you been? Even my guy Charlie from Queens, who's always in 203, like, I haven't seen you at the game. Yeah, priorities. And that's part of the reason why I'm mad at the Yankees. Because personally, selfishly, I want to win. And I went to games this year and I took a lot of L's because they haven't been that good at home. And I'm aging out. Hello, I need y'all to win the World Series now. I'm aging out. Before I know it, my wife's going to have another kid. 888-808-1019. And then once I have two kids, I'm cooked, bro. I can't go to the stadium. It's over for me. I used to be out in the streets. I used to be, I would still be in the Bronx right now, younger me, if I could go to the game. I'm cooked now. I got to be a family man. 888-808-1019. Let's take one more Yankee call before we hit it. Jack is in Brooklyn. Jack, you're on the Fan.
Big fan, man. Like your show.
Thank you. Thank you.
How old is your little guy now, first of all?
17 months, like today. Like he's born on the 13th. We'll celebrate 17 months with him tomorrow, like when the sun comes up.
God bless him. Good to him. Good to him. God bless
Thank
him.
You. Appreciate it.
I just wanted to talk Austin Wells, Rookie of the Year, Nestor Cortez, and why the hell the Yankees, Aaron Boone says, we'll take it by play it by ear with Holmes, and he keeps putting him out, and Holmes keeps doing what he does.
Yeah,
I just don't understand that.
The Austin Wells thing, he should have played more earlier in the year. He was platooning, and he's just... I don't know if he's going to have the numbers to beat Colton Cowser, but he should. I think they have like 137 games difference, and the voters hate the Yankees, so it's going to be tough for Austin Wells to win it. But I think he should because he's the cleanup hitter behind Aaron Judge. Also, with the Clay Holmes stuff, like I said tonight to multiple people, I have a group of different people that text me during the Yankee games that we talk about moves. I said, just accept it, bros. Like, they are not going to bury Clay Holmes because you all hate him. They are not going to bury Clay Holmes because he has 12 blown saves. He is a part of this bullpen. Cashman traded something for him, and he's a Cashman find that Matt Blake and Mike Harkey and the Yankees turned into this closer that got them out of, you know, Aroldis Chapman, and they're going to see it through, and, you know, they're going to find spots for him to try and build up his confidence because he has good stuff. Like, we can't front on that. Like, he does have some dirty pitches. He's going to be out there, but we just can't stomach him blowing more games. So he's going to be there. And what was the last thing? Nestor Cortez?
Yeah, Nestor. Nestor's got to keep it up. He was a little upset that they put him in the pen that last game, but I'll tell you, he pitched a hell of a game.
Understandably. Thanks for the call. Understandably. Nestor Cortez felt like he was being jerked around. Like, he's like, yo, what's the deal? Like, you know, he probably looks at Marcus Stroman. He's probably like, I'm better than him. Probably looks at Clark Schmidt. Like, Clark Schmidt is young. Like, the back of my baseball card is better than his. He's come out of the bullpen, too. Why can't he piggyback me? You know, he even said something. I was listening to Susan interview him. Shout out to Susan. Susan's the GOAT. She's like, literally, like, we're fortunate to have Susan. Like, straight up. And I can't wait for her and John to, you know, join forces again. But, you know, he said, like, Clark was like, yo, are you mad at me? And it's like, yo, you can voice your opinion. You can speak on your situation without being mad at anybody. He's like, no, I'm not mad at you. It wasn't your decision to make. And I don't think he's mad at the Yankees either, but he just spoke out about it. Like, he doesn't have to be happy about it. You don't have to be happy when your boss changes your shift or asks you to work overtime or takes you off the shift that you like. You can be a team player or not. And like Nestor Cortez said tonight, if this team needs me to come out of the bullpen, I'll do it. I'll do what this team needs for me to win. He was happy to get the start, and he goes out there tonight, and he strikes out 9. I'm like, damn, I wish I bet on Nestor Cortez to strike out 9 people. He gives up 3 hits, obviously a homer, but whatever. It's a solid performance from Nestor Cortez, and when you actually look at his last few performances, his last few times out, you know, if you take out that Cardinal start where it rained and that was a janky, weird game. Like, that Guardians game, solid. That Nationals game, solid. Even the White Sox where, you know, we lost to the White Sox that first game and we needed to bounce back with Nestor and he was there. I don't hold the Anaheim Angels game against him because it was pouring rain that night. I was at the David Cone golf outing. We didn't even golf that day because it poured rain. Nestor took the ball, did what he could. It didn't go well. Nestor Cortez deserves to start in the postseason. You know, they talked about DJ LeMay who deserves to play. No, Nestor deserves to take the ball. And I don't mind him speaking out. I don't mind him expressing how he feels about being the, you know, the movable guy, the flexible guy. 888-808-1019. Coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night. I've got 1 hour left. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.